Hello and welcome to episode 97. It's a roundup of the games I played in May 2023. I played just 4 games that month, but it was an interesting selection. For Entertainium, I reviewed 2 new games. Miasma Chronicles is the new release from the makers of Mutant Year Zero and is another strong entry in the turn-based tactics genre. Warhammer 40,000 Boltgun was on my most anticipated list for 2023, but still surprised me with its quality. Indie studio Auroch Digital did a fantastic job combining the 40k license with the boomer shooter. As ever, I also played some older games. I revisited Dishonored for the first time in a while, celebrating Arkane's glory days, at the same time as they entered their darkest hour with a disastrous recent release of Redfall. What took up the bulk of my gaming time in May, though, was the open-world Deep South crime experience of Mafia 3. I got completely sucked into its compelling story and open-ended gameplay, and hope to cover it more in due course. First up though, Miasma Chronicles, released in 2023, developed by The Bearded Ladies, and published by 505 Games. Curiously named outfit The Bearded Ladies made a big splash with Mutant Year Zero Road to Eden back in 2018, but their follow-up, Corruption 2029, sank without a trace 2 years later. It didn't help that the game is only available on the Epic Games Store. It's clear that the Swedish studio is heavily invested in turn-based tactics games, and they return to the genre for a third time with Miasma Chronicles, which I recently reviewed for Entertainium. Happily, it's a return to form. In its early hours, the similarities to Mutant Year Zero are very clear, almost excessive, in fact. Over time, though, Miasma Chronicles carves out its own post-apocalyptic territory. Compared with their previous games, the ladies have emphasised narrative much more strongly. The game improves in this respect too. What begins as a fairly boilerplate saviour narrative accumulates some surprising twists and emotional moments. What matters most, obviously, is the turn-based battles. Miasma Chronicles does very little that will be truly new to anyone who's played XCOM 2 or Hard West 2 or Warhammer 40,000 Mechanicus. Everything it does do is executed well, however, and the return of the stealthy ambushes that enlivened Mutant Year Zero is very welcome. The Bearded Ladies are back on their game here, and Miasma Chronicles is an engaging trek across a ruined world, punctuated with exciting tactical battles and telling a good yarn along the way. Next up, Warhammer 40,000 Boltgun, released in 2023, developed by Auroch Digital and published by Focus Entertainment. Sometimes greatness comes not from any spectacular innovation, but just from having a great idea and executing it to a high standard. Boltgun is exactly that kind of game. One of the latest entries in the retro shooter boom, it fuses that old-school 90s gameplay and aesthetic with the grimly fertile Warhammer 40,000 universe. The result is a lean, fast, brutal FPS which captures the feeling of what it would be like to be a space marine, one of the Emperor's finest, a one-man army facing down a chaos horde on the corrupted planet Grya. Boltgun is also a sign that exciting surprises can still happen. British developers Auroch Digital have no track record in shooters. Their background is in management sims about brewing, exploring Mars, and running an aquarium. It turns out that they also have a rich talent for level design, crunchy combat, and satisfying weapon mechanics. So many so-called AAA games have lumbered into one controversy after another in 2023, but Boltgun is a reminder of how smaller scale games can catch us off guard and satisfy us completely. Of course, as a 40k game, Boltgun is part of another never-ending wave. Focus Entertainment will ship Space Marine 2 later this year, which will also be worth a look. Mafia 3 Definitive Edition, released in 2020, developed by Hangar 13, published by 2K. Earlier this year, I played the definitive editions of both Mafia and Mafia 2. I thoroughly enjoyed these gangster sagas, which each fuse an open world with a tight, linear story. I was significantly less interested in the most recent game, Mafia 3. I was aware that it was released in a poor technical state, and that it got mixed reviews, although it was a big seller for publisher 2K. I picked it up anyway, because the whole series was on deep discount. It's fair to say, I'm glad I did. Over the last month, Mafia 3 has sort of blown me away. I expected so little, and it delivered so much. Even taking into account the now mostly fixed technical woes, I'm surprised it didn't review much more strongly on release. The third game is set in 1968 in New Bordeaux, a fictionalized and amazingly rendered version of New Orleans. The central character is Lincoln Clay, a black Vietnam War veteran trained in wet work by the CIA. He finds a place for himself with a fairly small-time black mob, but is betrayed by the local mafia kingpin, Sal Marcano. Mafia 3 takes the form of Lincoln's long rampage of revenge, not just against Marcano, but the whole rotten structure of New Bordeaux. District by district, Lincoln wages war on gangsters, dirty cops, crooked politicians, and even a cross-burning stand-in for the Klan called the Southern Union. The main charge leveled at the game was that it is repetitive. Yes, the game structure is quite rigid, but it gives players far more flexibility of approach than, say, Grand Theft Auto V. I really think Mafia 3 is one of the more underrated games of the last 10 years, and hope to write a lot more about it, especially about how it handles the topic of race. Lastly for May, Dishonored from 2012, developed by Arkane Studios, published by Bethesda Softworks. Arkane Studios are one of the best-loved developers around these days, but lately their reputation has taken a serious hit. Their new multiplayer shooter Redfall received mostly scathing reviews, and languishes in a storm of controversy over its poor quality, uninspired design, and dubious technical state. In his review, my Entertainium colleague Gareth called it a disappointing sign of a studio which seems to have lost its spark. That was, incidentally, one of the less hostile takes. Bloomberg reporter Jason Schreier published a depressing look at what went on inside Arkane recently. While all this was going on, I happened to be playing the game that really made Arkane's name, Dishonored. For whatever reason, it took until this third attempt for me to really get into the whole supernatural well-punk stealth game. I still don't love it. I think Prey is much better, but I did connect with it more than before. One of my issues with the game is that the Blink ability, which provides short-range teleportation, is just too powerful. It can solve most problems that the game throws at players, and that significantly undermines a game which is largely about experimentation. The consensus seems to be that Dishonored 2 is the peak of the series, and I'm yet to try that one. I can also see another run through Prey in my near future. That game has clearly achieved genuine cult status at this point. That puts a bow on another month. At the end of June, I'll be reflecting on Styx, Shards of Darkness, and the last major entry in the Sniper Elite series that I haven't already covered, V2 Remastered. Hopefully, I'll be able to talk about one or two new games as well. Thanks for listening to this episode. You can find more of my writing in text and audio form at my site, andyjohnson.xyz. You can also find me on Twitter at andyjohnsonuk, and you can support me at patreon.com/andyjohnson. Catch you next time.